Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, getting into a little Warriors talk. Golden State, unfortunately, have lost 11 of their last 14. They take on the Los Angeles Clippers coming up tonight. And, of course, you can catch all the action here on 95.7 The Game. And guess who's doing the pregame show? Warriors Live.
You, my friend.
And you.
What? Me?
You're not going anywhere.
What?
This is a team, man.
There's no I in team, baby. Yeah, it's all you. You're the I.
Because Ev, who usually does this and does such a fine job at it, Ev is about 4 drinks deep now?
No, he's got at least 4. I'm gonna take the over. Take the over.
And we're here for him because we take care of our boy that way. Yeah, when you're a young man and you're single, do you? It's Friday night.
Exactly.
Now, Ev, in all seriousness, has family in town, and I believe they came in from San Diego, so he's having dinner with Pops and the fam. And so,
people.
God bless. Yeah, we got you covered. So, we'll be doing Warriors Live coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we hand it off to Tim Roy, who will give you the pregame show, and then we tip things off at 7 o'clock with the Warriors taking on the Los Angeles Clippers.
It's gonna be tough with all the Dorn injuries. The Warriors, GPs, you know, Peyton's not playing, of course, Steph. It's going to be a interesting game.
Yeah, so they haven't beat the Clippers this year. They're going to do it without Steph Curry. Steph Curry is out, and Draymond Green is listed as questionable. One thing I wanted to get into, and we can get back to the 49ers, we can get back to whatever it is that people want to talk about concerning whether it's the contract extension for one Brock Purdy and what that number might be. One thing that I found fascinating about talking to Steve Kerr is, and you can relate this maybe to football, Jonathan Kuminga, who continues to be the X factor in a lot of these conversations. And we always talk about how young he is. He's been in the league as a teenager, came in at age 19. He's been in the league now 4 years. That we all know you have to be patient. But Kerr reminded us last night that guys like Kuminga and guys that want to take the quick route or come through the G League or are teenagers in the league, while we salivate at what they potentially can do offensively because of their size and their speed, the ability to dunk and just all of these things that are so exciting, that they still have not learned because no one has taught them the nuances of the game, how to rotate defensively, how to speak on defense, communicate with one another. I think that Steve Kerr didn't want to admit it, but it was Jonathan Kuminga that should have helped defensively on that baseline, because Andrew Wiggins, according to Steve Kerr, did the right thing. Forced Austin Reeves' baseline, thinking he was going to get help. Jonathan Kuminga wasn't there to help.
Right.
Bucket, ball game.
Right.
I also think that Steve Kerr also is culpable for not having Trayce Jackson-Davis in the game, because I think Trayce Jackson-Davis instinctively knows to be there to shut off that baseline and to challenge the shot of Austin Reeves. That's the way he plays. But Trayce Jackson-Davis was in college for 4 years. And he played under Rod Woodson, who was an NBA coach and an NBA basketball player. He's well-schooled. He's minored in basketball.
Right.
He knows the game. Jonathan Kuminga, guys like Jonathan Kuminga, as Steve Kerr pointed out to us last night, they're still the coaches, the NBA coaches like that of Steve Kerr, have to pick up the slack and teach these guys that they should have learned in their first year or two at the college level.
Right.
And so he's learning on the job. And it's a reminder to all of us that, yeah, we need to be patient because he's 22 and his offensive game will come around. But it's the other stuff that really is going to test people's patience when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, because he just doesn't know any better. And I think, to Steve Kerr's point, he's not going to chew him out because it's not on the kid. It's just he's never been taught that this is how we play winning basketball. It's not always about a three, a dunk, a crossover, all the amazing stuff you can do. It's the other little things that, for whatever reason, you were not in class for.
Right. I think Kerr was just alluding to as well, when you know, you see Wiggs, you know, force him to the baseline, he takes the baseline freely. If you have a big that's facing him, he doesn't take that baseline because now he doesn't go into the, he doesn't go into the weeds. He knew that there was a free angle. He knew that the big wasn't peeking back saying, okay, you're popping in and out of the lane, saying, okay, I know this guy's going to collapse. He said, he's taking it, I'm going to take it. And that's why he went right to the hole, because he knew, wasn't that he knew it could be necessary Wiggs, but he knew that he wasn't going to get that help because Wiggs were anticipating that he was going to help. And you know, that's where it looks bad for Wiggins. It's like, man, what's wrong with Wiggins? He got caught slow-footed. Man, why was he doing it, playing too close? Why? Because he understood what team concept is. And when you're talking about Kerr, when he alluded to, hey, look, these young guys don't get it. But, and that's what I'm talking about. Do you love it? And we talked about a guy and people were hitting the text line saying, God, we want to make this trade, you know, for Zion. And you said, man, Zion, when he's well, he's hell. When he's hurt, he's dirt. And it's like, we understand that's just how, because Zion, when he's in the game, you see how aggressive and how hard he can blow out his shoes. But does he really love it? Or does he love what basketball do? Because you get a lot of guys that you get them on the court, it takes over. I love basketball. But are you willing to pay the price? And see, you got Kuminga, and I understand he's 22, he's young. I get that. But the offseason, you've been now 2-3 years offseason. Are you putting in the time and saying, I'm going to learn this? Are you watching tape not once a week in the offseason, not twice a week, not three times a week, four or five, at least 4 to 5 times a week to say, okay, I'm watching defense. Are you watching your cut-ups? How the defense flow, how you cut that, how do you do those things? How do you, when a cutter's coming, what's my best angle? See, when you are invested into your sport and not just love, a lot of guys play in the national football, they love what football can do for them. They love what football can do, but what do you love? What do you love to protect your job? I tell people all the time, I go into a school and I go and talk and I go talk to businesses and I say, see this football, body rest and stay at rest, body motion, stay at rest. If I put this football on top of a desk, and on top of this table, and we leave out of this room, and we come back next year, the year after, and no one comes in this room, no one touches this room, no one comes in this room, that football will be in the same place on that table where everyone left it. It may be deflated, but it'll be in the same place. What are you doing to protect your football? What are you doing to protect your basketball? And that's the thing. Yeah, you got the flash, the buzz and the sizzles there. But what is he doing? And that's the bind. And that's where Kerr and the coaching staff has to say, look, we can take you so far, young man. Practice, we only get a 45 to 2 hours. We got limited because of CBA and all the different things we do. We got limited time. But we can't make you love this. You got to go protect this. If you don't, why do you think everyone's asking you to be traded? Why is everyone saying, go ahead and turn the page? The commitment's not there, bro. And I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand he's young. I understand he's grown, but you're 22. When is that clock going to say, I got to be invested in my game? Athletic ability get me so far, but now the commitment to learning my craft is going to keep me there.
Amen to that. Tim's out in North Carolina, wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. Tim, where in North Carolina are you?
Yeah, I'm in Raleigh, man. This is absolutely fascinating. Like, out here, where was this at when he has won games in the past? Where was this at in Houston when he won that one in overtime with Pods? And 3 weeks ago when he hit the dagger shot? Or a year ago when he came off of the bench in Portland and you won that one? This is fascinating. So this is what I want to say, guys. I commend this young fella for coming from Africa at the age of 14, learning a different language, doing all that he had, seeing the things that he has seen in the Congo, for God's sake. And then he comes over here, right? I got nothing but love for this young man. And listening to that interview yesterday, listening to you basically begging for the coach to blame him, begging for putting him against Pods to in front of a coach and begging for him to speak highly of one and talk disparagingly about another. It was fascinating, man. So this is, yes, what you just said, I want him to be traded. I want to see this young man play for somebody who wants him. You damn right I want to see it. Talking about mental toughness. Let's talk about mental toughness with all of the things you just said. 4 weeks ago, you win a game. 3 weeks ago, you win a game. A week later, you're told it's all about you, man. We going in on you. Just for 1 week later for you to be pulled back. And we're not going to do that at 22 years old. And for this kid to not be a head case, to not be a mental case in a lab somewhere with a straitjacket on, is by far. I mean, and Lorenzo, you played sports. You know what it is for a coach to empower you, to believe in you, and to give you consistency. Something this kid has not had his entire career. But I love how we talk about IQ, right? I love those two letters. A year ago when Klay Thompson fouled somebody for no damn reason at all and we lost the game, nobody talked about it. All right, but we got the best players on this team who make the dumbest mistakes we've ever seen in crunch time. Going back 8 years ago when our best player threw a behind-the-back no-look pass in the finals, to 2 weeks ago when he took a shot with 12 seconds left when he knows he should have taken down the three. But the 22-year-old, when he makes that mistake, he's not committed. Are you not looking at tape? That's what we do to him, so you're damn right I want him out of here. I want to see him play for somebody who wants him. Because what you guys are doing right now on this platform and the agenda, because you want him to be traded, and the things you said and did in that interview yesterday to try and get this man to give us contact, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely fascinating. And but, yeah, that's what we do to him. We question his love and heart for the game. When, like he said in that interview, a lot of people in his position right now would be mental cases and couldn't even come close to dealing with all of this nonsense. But that's okay. Let's compare him and Pods. Let's talk to the coach and say all the good stuff Pods does, but we can deal with it. But Kuminga, nah, we can't. But we don't remember that energy 3 weeks ago.
Hell yeah, Tim.
I like the call.
Good stuff.
And I'll say it again today. I said, when you look at a young guy and we talk about how the weak and those different things, not to say this guy's not trying. I'm saying I know what it takes. When he's talking about being a pro, it's about, look, I said this guy, we all know how talented he is. And that's why yesterday Kerr's not going to throw this guy under the bus. Yeah, you were wanting to know answers because fans want to know what happened, who posed the collapse, who's supposed to make that block. I get that what the fans want to know. But Kerr wouldn't go there. I understand there's a code of ethics when it comes to being an athlete, and you can't put a coach on the spot. And Steve Kerr would not throw Kuminga under the bus. He did not do it. I'm saying when you look at NBA and you look at basketball, look at football, any sport, you have to have the commitment. Because athletically, this kid has athletically. But when I'm saying, hey, look, work on the other part, that means, hey, look, you do the extra thing. That means the coaches, hey, you sit, you have extra meetings. I'm saying if you have 3 years and you're saying, look, I'm going to watch the extra tape, not once, not twice, but 4 or 5 times a week in the offseason just to get better because you do have a barrier. You do haven't been playing this game. And Steve Kerr alluded to, and that's what you were saying. It wasn't you were badgering. You said, hey, it made you. You said, I had to step back and I listened to Kerr when he's saying, here's an 18-year-old kid that usually Draymond and Klay and Steph, they got that because they got the basic fundamentals in college. You're saying, Kerr alluded to you saying, These guys skip those processes. So as a coach, we have to teach them the things that they would have learned in college. So when you're in that situation as a coach, yes, you got to teach them. But then you got to say, look, I can only teach you so much. I only have 45 minutes with you at practice. That's when the extra comes in where you got to take the tape home and look at it. And not once a day, not freaking in the off season. You say, hey, look, I have to put in the time for my craft. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it when you are set behind and you're behind the eight ball, you got to do extra, especially if you have the athletic ability and people are depending on you. I'm not saying that you can put yourself in a position to put the time in to learn more. And that's all I'm saying, that this young man, sometimes you have to do the extra because you are behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and to the caller from Raleigh, to his point, and it was a good call. Anybody who's that impassioned, man, you move to the front of the line. We want to hear from you. But as far as is our interview, my questions to Steve Kerr is, first of all, I have to ask Kerr that question, because with 6.3 seconds to go, there has to be answers that are provided. Now, he danced around mentioning Jonathan Kuminga's name, but I'm sorry, from where I sit, that question has to be addressed to the head coach. And again, he did a very good job by being evasive, but I hope you understand what it is that I'm responsible in terms of my obligation to the fan base, and that is Jonathan Kuminga made a mistake. Now, you can interpret that any way you want, and you can go there thinking that I'm favoring Pajemski over Kuminga, or that Kuminga, and you have a good point as far as what it is that Steve Kerr has been doing as far as yo-yoing him back and forth in the starting lineup, out of the starting lineup. That's on Steve Kerr. I'm not going to push back on that at all. But as far as what it is that I asked Steve Kerr, that came from a place of objectivity, where the Warriors lost a game on a play with 6 seconds to go with the game tied in front of the world on Christmas Day, and it was a baseline layup. Boom, that's all she wrote. Lakers win. I'm sorry, there has to be questions asked as to why that happened. And the reason why it happened is that there was no help defensively. And who was supposed to help? Well, it was Jonathan Kuminga. And again, you could be a Jonathan Kuminga fan. It has nothing to do with what took place last night. That's on Jonathan Kuminga. You can isolate it to just that one play that he screwed up, but he's been a very good basketball player. That's fine. But in a vacuum, what took place in the final 6.3 seconds of that basketball game, just that one particular play, I think it was on Jonathan Kuminga to come over and seal that baseline, and he didn't do it. And you can talk about the fact that he doesn't know the nuances because he didn't go to college. Whatever the reason is, we have to lay it out for everybody as to why the Warriors lost the game. And unfortunately, when it comes to sports talk radio, it's the nature of this beast, man. We're going to point fingers, and we got to find a culprit in this. Usually somebody's right and somebody's wrong. It's not an indictment on the guy's career. It's not an indictment in that he's going to be a good or a bad basketball player, but on Christmas night, he made a mistake that cost the Warriors.
Now, when you say he made a mistake, which he did, and do you say, and that's why you said you rather seen another player be in there at that particular time because of basketball IQ, they've been playing basketball longer, and instinctively they just would have did it. But Kerr chose to go put him in that position. So you can say either you got to look at Jonathan Kuminga and say, okay, it's on him, or you can say, does he have a timeout to go ahead and say, I'm switching to defense, I'm going to put a better suited defensive player in there that understands that you collapse on the baseline.
Let's get out to Priest. Wants to talk about Kuminga. Priest, where you been, man? I'm sure he's going to go after me. What's up, Priest?
Yes, indeed. Hey, what's going on, man?
No, I know you're going to clap hard at me. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just like the caller before me. You cats take everything this kid does wrong and put it into a narrative that he doesn't work hard.
No, I didn't say that.
He doesn't put in the work. No, I'm talking about your man there. Low. He's running his mouth about the man is alluding to the idea that this kid is lazy. Come on, man.
Hey, hold on. I didn't say necessarily lazy. I'm saying, listen, you can have all the athletic ability in the world, and you can have all of, you can say, oh, hey, I want to lift 400 pounds. And you can go and put 400 pounds, put your butt underneath the 400 pounds and see what it won't crush your chest. If you don't work, it won't happen. I'm not saying the guy's lazy. I'm saying, look, he can be at practice and be learning everything. But when you are when you're behind the eight ball, what are you doing extra? And I'm just saying, are you watching it 1, 2, 3 times? You can't. It needs to be 4, 5 times in the offseason. All I'm saying, if he's doing it, then that's on me. If I'm saying that if this guy's doing it, if you know that this guy in the offseason for 3 years, he's been in league now for 3 years, if you know that this guy's going and watching the tape every single day in the offseason because you know he doesn't know basketball, he came from another country, I get that, and he's been put in a position to success, and he's had big shots, won games, I get that. But if you're deficient in somewhere, you try to overcome. So I'm saying if you think he's doing it, if you guys, if Kerr's saying he's doing it, then he's doing it, then that's on me. But if it's not, then that means you have to put in more time. I don't care how hard you work in practice. If you're not watching tape and doing the extra things to make your, to sharpen your skills, then that's got to be on you. That's all I'm saying. If you're deficient somewhere, you have to try to put in the time. That's the only thing I'm saying.
If this and that and the other, man, you don't know, I don't know. So when we make allusions to a guy's work ethic and his personality, and stuff like that, that we don't know. Don't know that man from Adam. Have you ever talked to him?
Fair enough.
Ever. Okay, so why would we do that? Why would we do that to this kid only? Only him. When everybody else is making the same kind of mistakes on the defensive rotation, they're doing the same thing. But we're going to bring up Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I'll say this about Kerr. Kerr should have had the Davis kid in on that play. He's playing Kuminga at the 4, man. Kuminga is not a 4. He's a 3. But he's asking him to do something just like he does with Draymond. Draymond's got the IQ. He did 5 years in college under a great coach. This kid didn't have that luxury, okay? So Draymond understands the rotations before they ever happen. TJD may have that. Kerr made a call, and this kid didn't react. And he knows he'll learn from that. But to say he's not going to put in the time, man, I think you foul for that. And that's what I'm saying. We need to lay off this kid because we don't do that to nobody else on this team. And they do this, they make these mistakes. Steph Curry throw the ball all out of bounds, do all kind of crazy stuff. I know he's the superstar. I know he deserves the accolades and all that stuff. But he makes as many mistakes. So does Draymond. He threw a ball in the backcourt.
Thanks, Priest. And Priest brings up a good point. The Trayce Jackson-Davis not being in there. And I've talked about this. That I think that's on Steve Kerr. Because I think Steve Kerr recognized when Anthony Davis was out of the game, he wanted to go small. Trayce Jackson-Davis is playing well. I don't care whether Anthony Davis is in the game or not. Put him in. Put him in. The idea, like that's over-managing or over-coaching. Anthony Davis is out. Oh, it's my opportunity to go small and take advantage. So, Trayce Jackson-Davis, you're not a small guy. I'm going to replace you with whomever. Trayce Jackson-Davis should have been closing that basketball game. We got time for one more. Actually, we'll try and squeeze you guys in.
This is fine.
Hang out through the break. We want to hear from you. Leo's up next in San Francisco, and he wants to talk about, I guess, the last play was 6.3 seconds to go. It's not a good indicator of who won or lost the game for the Warriors. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen? It's amazing how we pick out a single play, and I realize it happened at the end of the game, but that single play, first of all, wasn't a baseline drive. It was a straight line drive from the top of the key, and the reason why Reeves got a step on Wiggins was because Wiggins was overplaying him to his right hand, and he made that straight line drive to the basket, easy layup. Kuminga was trying to box out somebody who ran out of bounds. He was trying to face guard him, trying to get in position to make sure that he could box him out on a shot. Wiggins has as much blame for that play as anybody else, especially since he's a veteran. And people have said this, but I'll reiterate. You know, during the game, Draymond throwing the ball over people's head. Anybody talking about that? But we picked that one play at the end of the game. Making a run with the young guys with Steph and Draymond on the bench, created three turnovers while they were on the bench defensively, but they seemed to pull the momentum, were moving. And then during a free throw, Curry decides to put Draymond and step back in, kills the momentum, and Lakers go on a 7-0 run. We don't talk about that.
Good call, Leo. Leo, I do. Maybe we saw different games. Austin Reeves did not start off the top. He was out on the angle and then came baseline. And Jonathan Kuminga was not only at the baseline, he was actually outside of the baseline. He was out of bounds. And the positioning he had on Hachimura just looked confusing. And again, you're right. Basketball games are not necessarily won or lost on one play. But I do, again, feel as though if we're going to have Steve Kerr on a show the day after what happened, we have to ask him about that last play with 6.3 seconds to go. All right. Do we have enough time to get in Mike from Oakland? No. Nah. All right. Hey, Mike, as well as Marvin, the rest of you, hang in there. 888-957-9570. We're going to continue with the Warrior talk as the Warriors get ready for the Clippers coming up tonight. It'll be Lo and I. They're going to have Warriors Live, the pregame show, and then hand things over to Tim Roy. But we're going to take more of your calls and get back to Warriors talk. Jonathan Kuminga, whatever it is you want to kick around next here on 95.7 The Game.